right now.
Adding to his war chest over the weekend, raising millions of dollars in fundraisers in Chicago and then Atlanta, while the Republicans spent their time over the weekend in Puerto Rico. Mitt Romney walks away with 20 more delegates. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Hope you had a fabulous weekend as we roll into the last week of, next to the last week of March. It's flying by, isn't it? Ever since we sprung ahead, I think that I'm still back. I'm still back that hour. I'm still trying to get that hour back. Although St. Patrick's Day evened things out for me. I hope that you had a chance to maybe hoist a green iced tea or beer. Maybe even had a chance to check out a green river or two. It used to be that just Chicago dyed their river green, but now rivers are all over the place are dyed green on St. Patty's Day. In Tampa they do it. In Savannah they do it. In Philadelphia they do it. Or maybe it's just naturally green, the Schuylkill. I'm not sure. But you get my drift. A lot of people were wearing the green. St. Patty's Day is practically a holiday in the United States. I'm surprised at how big a lot of the celebrations have become. So I hope you had a chance to kick back and at least relax, let's say, over the weekend. There was no relaxing for the Republicans. The elephants went charging, as I said, to the potentially 51st state. Mitt Romney practically promised statehood to Puerto Rico. So he easily won that primary. He had over 50% of the vote. Like I said, it just means more delegates for him. It's trying to get to the magic number. That's the key at this point. It's pretty much almost a done deal. I think the sooner you get there, the better, because if it is a done deal, just get there and get on with it. Most of us are almost weary of this at this point. What's going to change? What's going to be different in the last couple of laps around the bend in these primaries and caucuses? And I don't think we're going to see much of a change. Not significant enough that the numbers would shift in favor of somebody other than Romney. It's not happening at this point. It's a very crazy thing the way these primaries are, where it's not all winner takes all, and sometimes it's broken up, so it drags it out. Because to get the nomination, the red carpet, all of that in Tampa, you need 1,144 delegates, period. And now the party rolls on. Louisiana, on down the list. That's where Santorum is campaigning. He's expected to actually pick up that one. Newt Gingrich, by the way, staying in this. Ron Paul, staying in this so far. Neither one of them have dropped out. So, actual, you are the guy moment probably doesn't happen until end of May, beginning of June, which is what it started to look like once we had the merry-go-round of people dropping off and then tightening up the race and all that kind of stuff. But you could say that Mitt Romney never was truly challenged, never truly challenged. One thing I like that Mitt Romney did say, to me, he's been too wishy-washy on a bunch of stuff. And I know all of you are hardcore. You don't like that flip-flopping. I think most of us would agree in our own personal lives, you don't like flip-flopping, right? So Romney came out and said something I agree with. He said Obama needs to fire the Secretary of Energy, Stephen Chu, and Ken Salazar for driving up gas prices. Well, first of all, I think Ken Salazar needed to be fired 2 years ago for the Gulf spill, the crisis that was going on, and he was off whitewater rafting. Oh, I have to go on vacation. I got to hurry up and get out of town. They had to, at our expense, airlift him basically out of the Grand Canyon, and he didn't seem like he ever had a handle on that to me. The Secretary of Energy, Stephen Chu, was on board with the Keystone Pipeline, said, oh, yes, it makes the regulations are very stringent, it made the regulations. And then when he was told, oh, shut your mouth, he did shut his mouth, but he talks out of both sides of his mouth, so I think he is useless, too, so I agree with Romney there. In fact, I did a show once, and a lot of you sent in your thoughts on this, and we'll have to do it again, but I said if you were in any successful business, you hire people and you fire people. It's the way it is. Hopefully you're a fair person, so you go on the merits of what people are doing as to reasons why they're let go or promoted. And in the case of a cabinet, you're always going to have people that don't live up to expectations or come under a crisis and don't perform well or are just dead weight and you got to cut them out. And here's where there's another Achilles heel. They need to cut out, this administration needed to cut out a few people, including the Secretary of the Treasury. I think Tiny Tim Geithner has not done much at all to help Obama's cause, and I would have pink-slipped him as one of the first people. The Attorney General, Eric Holder, I would have said adios to him. I would have put these two in there a long time ago, Chu and Ken Salazar, because, frankly, Democrat or Republican, I think there are more qualified people that would have done a better job in these positions, a few of these positions that I mentioned, and that's part of the gig. You have to know when, for 4 years, I mean, if you've got this mess going on, what have you done to unhook yourself from it? And the answer is not very much. Part of that problem is who you have as the cabinet, who you have as the decision makers advising you. Biggest mistake, I think, for Obama is probably that. All right, so speaking of politics, how about Scott Brown? Scott Brown running for re-election. Remember him? He got the seat in Massachusetts, surprising a lot of people. He made kind of a little funny about the possibility of Brown Santorum.
I see that both Newt Gingrich and Rick Santorum now have Secret Service with them on the campaign trail. And in Santorum's case, I think it's the first time he's actually ever used protection. So, yeah.
Wow. That was pretty funny. I give him credit for that. Get it? Contraception. Yeah, I don't have to explain it to you. Santorum and Romney, as I said, they were both off campaigning in Puerto Rico, now looking toward a couple of other states. They took time, both of them, to weigh in on Afghanistan.
If this is the game plan, if the game plan is we're leaving irrespective of whether we're going to succeed or not, then why are we still there? Let's either commit to winning or let's get out.
The president needs to be more engaged and interacting with not only our commanders there, but also with leadership in Afghanistan.
Yeah, and part of the problem, again, continues to be the nightmare of the 16 people who were killed and the call for revenge by the Taliban and a few others as to what's going to happen with our troops, who I fear have the biggest possible ever target on their backs than they have been sporting around the entire time they've been there. Taliban commander doubts that just one soldier carried out the massacre. More on that coming up on the flip side. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment frequent basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Gold isn't for you?
Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30%, while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should, too. Find out what they know. Call us, and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
In a coming-apart world, you need something to keep it tied together. That something is Atwood Rope, the highest quality rope made in the USA from exotic braids for military, rescue, arborists, shipyards, towline, or boating. Quality rope at affordable prices you and your customers can depend on. Find a dealer or shop online at atwoodrope.net. Enter promo code RADIO to receive 100 feet of 550 paracord free with purchase. Atwood Rope, working to keep the world tied together.
You just heard what Rick Santorum and Mitt Romney, both running for president, had to say about Afghanistan. And now, as I said, this Taliban commander is saying, oh, it's not just one soldier, there's more that were involved in the massacre, and starting the propaganda machine up as it's been going for a couple of weeks. The truth is, it's time to just leave Afghanistan. Why we're burning through more lives, more limbs, more money, I have no idea. Because ultimately when we leave, the sad, sad, sick thing about the deal in Afghanistan is, have we made a difference? Is there going to be an impact that's going to be felt in Afghanistan? You know what? And I hope I'm wrong. I hope there is going to be some major impact on Afghanistan. But I fear that that's not going to be the case. Ultimately, going back, Taliban regime, stronghold, whatever you want to call it, you might have the figurehead of Hamid Karzai, but the Taliban is always working as the real puppet masters behind the scenes because they have the money, and they're going to take care of the people, and the people are mostly illiterate, meeting in the mosques, and they're going to pay attention to what the Taliban has to say. And breaking that code was tough to begin with, but now even more impossible. More impossible. And as this is happening in the wake of the 16 people who were killed, allegedly by the soldier who went out of the base and decided, Army Staff Sergeant, rather, Robert Bales, leaving his outpost and carrying out the massacre in two villages, who is now in prison at Fort Leavenworth, thank goodness, waiting for a trial, flying back to the United States a week ago. The question is, why? Why did this happen? How did this happen? And look what this has now done to our troops. A lot of people were upset that he wasn't tried in Afghanistan, where it happened. So it's infuriated a lot of Afghans, and it's made the tensions that much worse between the United States and that country. Hamid Karzai says that the relationship between the two countries was at the end of the rope. Now, if the president, who I think is riddled with nepotism and corruption, says, we're at the end of our rope, well then fine, let's cut the rope and let's get out of there. Why do we continue to stay in Afghanistan? So we had troops burning Qurans at Bagram Air Force Base in Afghanistan, and now we have these protests all over the place over the 16 people who were killed in that rampage. So, unfortunately, I think at this point, it's time to cut losses and just pull out of this thing. I mean, just pull out of them. The staff sergeant, now more is emerging about him, went to serve four combat tours, the last one to Afghanistan beginning in January. And in between, he was with his wife and their two kids outside of Tacoma, Washington, where a bunch of you are listening to the show. So the family had a so-called middle-class neighborhood lifestyle, about 30 minutes from the base, and they had gotten a house in 2006 for $280,000, something like that is what they bought the house for. So, boy, people in his neighborhood just say, really nice guy, conversational, cared about what you were doing. Nobody suspecting that he was capable of what happened to the 16. But it doesn't help any of the soldiers, for whatever reason, doesn't matter, who are in the situation in Afghanistan where they're not safe. I mean, war is not safe, period. But now they're, let's say if there's another level, they have cracked that other level and are absolutely targets, absolutely. Sometimes I feel like we're targets of ignorance to what our energy needs are. So we get to the gas station and we hope that, you know, we're going to pay a lot less, but we end up paying almost $4 or over $4, and we just accept it and we wait for the next increase. So unfortunately, the national average for a gallon of gasoline went up for the ninth straight day to $3.83. And did you know, here's a factoid for you, that only about 6.7%, if we went back in history, 6.7% below the record high of $4.11 from July of 2008. We're so close to that. So close. And gas prices, forget history in comparing those numbers. How about this? January, February, we're almost done March, but gas prices are up 17% in that short amount of time. Short amount of time. It might be your bonuses are gas checks. People are struggling so much that we're going to fill up your gas tank for the entire year. Woo! Oh, I love that. Fill away. Go ahead. If only I was entered into a drawing, and that's what's for an entire year, pay for your gasoline. Because if I add up the numbers, I would probably make out better for the amount of money I have to pay to fill up my car. Oh, and it used to be so cheap. It used to be so cheap. That's what gets me. And what can we do about it? the answer is not much, not until things are opened up. If everything's status quo at this point, they're not going to open up. So they're either going to go up higher until the strategic oil reserve is released, which I think there was a wink and a nod when the British Prime Minister was here. And they'll announce that a joint session, you know, a joint interview, that, yeah, they're going to release some of the oil reserve to ease the burden of the American taxpayer. It is tailor-made for an election year. Tailor-made, unfortunately. Don't forget, we just had brackets and we were talking about March Madness and there were some real upsets. I hope your bracket's intact. If it is, that good news for you wherever you work. But if not, have no fear. Nail the score. You'll get a chance to nail two games. We'll randomly pick two games. You get a chance to nail both of them. And maybe you'll be a winner next time around because we've got $100 worth of sausage to give away. We have a wireless GPS to give away. And dang, if I don't want that sitting in my closet. I really want somebody to win. Maybe this will be the week. We're just looking for the final score and the team you think is going to win. Whatever team it is. Whatever team of the two teams that we present to you. So there is, by the way, a little bit of luck involved in this. It's not all skill, because I think it's that paralysis by too much analysis syndrome. And you can read all the blogs and talk to all the people about the teams. And you might get some good advice, but flat out, you are picking the teams. That's it. Don't put much more into it. You pick the teams, you give us a score, bada bing. You move on from there and hope you have your fingers crossed that you are the winner of March Madness on America tonight. And it's possible. Chris in Connecticut nailed the score in football and couldn't be happier. She picked the Eagles game, which was surprising to me. But she picked the Eagles game, and she ended up winning on it. And that's now been a while. So we'd love to have another winner. March Madness would be the perfect time to do it. Perfect time to come up with the win. Get that $100 gift certificate for sausages. Get that GPS. You'll be styling, my friends. Coolio.
Are you or someone you know suffering from high blood pressure, cholesterol, or chest pains? Are you looking for a more natural way to overcome these health challenges? Extendivite is made from herbs known to help with these symptoms. Made from garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, and four other herbs, Extendivite goes to work detoxifying heavy metals and killing fungus and virus to enhance your overall health. For only $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid, you too can begin on your path to better health. For more information, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com. Extend your life with
Extendivite. Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
That's the sound of your door being kicked in by an intruder with a single kick. That's the sound of the same door now protected by the Door Sentinel at MySafeDoor.com. Go to MySafeDoor.com right now and watch the amazing video. At MySafeDoor.com, you'll learn how to turn your home into a fortress with the Door Sentinel. 16 kicks later, and the Door Sentinel is still holding strong. MySafeDoor.com. That's MySafeDoor.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Folks, Iran and the Mideast nuclear mess is already ballooning our gas prices. Whether you're struggling with food costs, which are being blown up by gas costs now, or know that when the Mideast showdown explodes, whatever food supply you have is all you'll get because of huge panic demand. eFoods Direct Family Packs are the answer. Now, the most affordable, best food is saving you up to 50% compared to other poor quality food companies. The new Alex Jones Quick Fix Family Packs save you so much money, the savings from eating this food will actually help you pay your other bills. No matter what effect the Mideast crisis or the crashing economy have, you'll have food as delicious tonight as 25 years from now. Order now for 50% savings and free shipping on these affordable family packs. Call 800-409-5633 or efoodsdirect.com/Alex. Call 800-409-5633 or efoodsdirect.com/Alex.
Introducing a diabetes breakthrough, an easy, natural, organic way to bring relief to diabetics. Introducing MDS Forte, a concentrated super strength extract formulated for those who are looking for relief. What can MDS Forte do for you? MDS Forte reduces glucose levels safely and effectively, reduces cholesterol and triglyceride levels, increases HDL or good cholesterol while reducing LDL or bad cholesterol. MDS Forte reduces A1C, improves eyesight and circulation to the limbs, and helps with weight loss. Is non-toxic, caffeine-free, 100% natural, 100% organic, and comes with a 100% money-back guarantee. Waiting for the side effects disclaimers? With MDS Forte, there are none. Order a 25-day treatment of MDS Forte by calling 213-405-5355, 213-405-5355, or visit bestbloodsupport.com. That's bestbloodsupport.com for MDS Forte, a diabetes breakthrough.
The familiar theme from The Godfather. Doesn't it just take you back? Oh, yeah. Still ranks up there as one of the all-time best movies. My favorite movie. A lot of people would list that as their favorite movie, too. I liked the first and the second. Didn't like the third so much, but loved the first one. I'll tell you, I think every guy that I know from the job that I worked in New York at the Fan could quote every single line from that movie. I can quote a few, but I wasn't as good as they were. In the wings, each and every week, he joins us. Stephen Shohet, the author of the book Hollywood Stories, short entertaining anecdotes about the stars and legends, of course, of the movie. So who better to talk to about this? As he pointed out to me when he sent me a note, it's the 40th anniversary of The Godfather. Stephen, did you love The Godfather?
I did, and I love The Godfather Part 2 as well, and I really enjoyed the book, too. But the one thing Coppola did I think was really smart, the book did have some Jacqueline Suzanne-type moments. It had a lot of Johnny Fontaine, the Frank Sinatra singer character out in Hollywood, a lot of side sexual stuff. And I think what Coppola did was he really focused on the violence and the rise to power rather than the side plots. And I think it takes a lot to adapt a novel when you understand what's going to work cinematically and what's going to work story-wise. And I think he deserved a lot of credit for that, getting the right story across. In fact, the studio wanted him to modernize the story, have it take place in the 70s, maybe have Robert Redford play Michael. And it was Coppola who insisted that it took place in the 40s, even though he had the one unfortunate scene where Michael and arrives in Las Vegas, and it kind of looks like there are a couple of hippies walking across the screen who happen to just sort of get into the film somehow. But other than that, you know, he kept it strongly in the 40s.
Yeah. Paramount Studios, did they know that they had this big hit on their hands?
Well, not right away. I mean, but it came out, and people were going to see it in March of 1972, and they were willing to see it in snowstorms and things like that. They had massive distribution on it. See, normally movies at that time just played in one major theater, like, say, the Chinese Theater in Hollywood or Radio City Music Hall, one major theater in each city, and then it would take weeks for it to trickle into the smaller neighborhood theaters, kind of like a hardcover book that becomes a paperback after a while. And Paramount, thinking, well, we got a 3-hour movie here, in order to make money off it, we're going to have to get a wider distribution. So it was much more accessible than the normal movie. And right after it came out, Paramount announced that it was going to make more money than any movie ever up until that time, which it did, over $80 million. But when they were making it, they really had doubts. And I think the doubts extended to the director, who really didn't have much experience and had a lack of confidence in himself. The doubts extended to the casting, where Paramount Studios did not want Marlon Brando, who hadn't had a hit in about 15 years, and did not want Al Pacino, who didn't look people in the eye when he met him and when they met him at the studio, and didn't inspire any confidence. And a general thought, the gangster pictures didn't work. There had been this movie called The Brotherhood back in 1968, which starred Kirk Douglas, a gangster movie that had failed at the box office. So all of these things made for a level of uncertainty right until the picture was released.
Yeah, crazy. And thinking about The Godfather, and thinking about, I was just thinking about this before we went on the air, the great lines, the great Don Corleone and the lines from that movie, like the one where he says, "I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse." You hear this all the time. The Don saying that to Johnny Fontaine about Waltz, and, you know, of all the lines that are in the movie, that might be my favorite. But Don, the Don, played by Marlon Brando, that wasn't initially who the studio wanted to go with, correct?
The studio didn't. Coppola did. I mean, Coppola said only two people can play the Don, and that's either Olivier or Brando. And Olivier, suffering from health problems at that time, that really helped Brando. Brando, again, he had such a bad reputation at that point. He was largely blamed for the movie Mutiny on the Bounty. Now, that was a 1960 movie that went way over budget. And it wasn't entirely Brando's fault, just like Cleopatra wasn't entirely Elizabeth Taylor's fault. But obviously they're going to get the press, and if they're late to work and they show some kind of unprofessionalism, it's going to be more noticed than an executive who can't make a decision about what should be in the script. So he was going through a lot of blame, wasn't considered to be very hireable. Coppola had to really fight for him. There was one time Coppola was having a meeting with studio executives, and one of them slammed his fist on the table and said, "Hey, Francis, as long as I'm at this studio, Brando will never play the Don." And Coppola actually got up, fell to the floor, started pawing at the ceiling like he was having an epileptic fit, and these executives gathered around him just staring down at him, and finally the guy who was really opposing him said, "Okay, Francis, you can have him. Just get up, will you?" And there was more convincing that had to be done. The other thing that really helped was Brando really wanted the role and really went and talked to the executives and told them, like Charles Bloodhorn, the head of Paramount Studios at the time, that "You might have heard some bad things about me, and yes, some of them are true, but I promise I'll be on my best behavior for this film." And he mostly was, although the one thing he had all the time, and it turned into some funny moments, was he just simply refused to learn his lines. And he had the lines written all over the place, you know, on back of tables, and what the other actors would do. I mean, at first, like Robert Duvall, James Caan, and some of the other actors, they're in awe of the great Brando, but then they realize, wait a minute, he's really a character here, not learning his lines. So Brando would be looking at a card, and instead of the line of dialogue he was supposed to say, there would be some wedding invitation that the other actors had switched with the cue card. So there were all sorts of laughs on the set, not for Coppola, not for Pacino, both of them afraid of being fired, but everybody else was kind of having a good time.
Talking about what happened there and the casting, Al Pacino, I guess the studio wanted Al Pacino, but you mentioned something to me about he almost got fired. Is that true?
Yeah, well, actually, they didn't want him. Again, that was Coppola, who'd seen him in a movie called The Panic in Needle Park. But yeah, he almost did get fired because he seemed so unconvincing. He didn't have the strength to do it. But what changed it was when he actually had the scene where he, I hate to give the movie away, but where he kills two people. That really impressed them. I think one thing that was impressive too, and Coppola got into an argument about this with his director of photography, Gordon Willis. They had the scene where Al Pacino announces that he's going to kill the other mob leader Sollozzo and the bad cop played by Sterling Hayden, and Coppola had to really fight to convince Gordon Willis to pull the camera in to have a close up of Pacino in that scene where the camera pans toward him, which now is a common thing. At a big moment, you'd pull the camera in on somebody, but at that time, it just wasn't done. Another thing that wasn't done was the darkness of the movie, keeping the Godfather in very unlit rooms. People weren't used to seeing that, and that got a lot of negative notes from executives when they were making it. And that was one of the reasons why, Coppola wanted to show how powerful, and sometimes evil the Godfather was. When you think about it, every time they act, they're really killing bad guys throughout the movie. And in fact, one of the things about the book, The Godfather, was that the characters that The Godfather was dispensing justice on were so much worse. Like Jack Woltz, the guy who ended up with a dead horse in his bed. In the book, he's a child molester. He's a way worse character, but still, there was that element of power of the darkness, and people were used to seeing Doris Day movies brightly lit. So that did get Coppola into a bit of trouble when they were seeing the daily rushes. It was a very nervous time for Francis Ford Coppola up until the movie came out and it was well received.
Yeah, no kidding. And now, look, it's like I said, it's on the tip of everyone's tongue. Always mentioned as one of the best all-time movies. Every guy I know loves The Godfather.
Yeah.
Without question. It doesn't matter how old you are, you know The Godfather. Stephen Shohead, Hollywood Stories, short entertaining anecdotes about the stars and legends of the movies. Pick the book up. It's great. Has all kinds of stories like we were just talking about. Thanks, Stephen.
You got it, Kate.
All right, 40 years of The Godfather. Wow, 40 years. This is a good rental. If you have not seen The Godfather, it is worth renting. You'd probably get it for a buck now, who knows, or you could get it in a bin somewhere because it's been out for so long. But there are just some classic lines in this movie of, I think, all the quotable movies that are out there, things that just stick with you. This had just chock full of them, and a lot of them were from Marlon Brando, a lot of the lines that he delivered. There was one where Don Corleone said something to Johnny Fontaine, and he said, "You can act like a man." He slapped him, and he said, "What's the matter with you? What's the matter with you?" That was a great moment in movie history. Remember, you can always check us out by going to americatonight.net. sending me your thoughts that way through the email or hooking up with us on Twitter or Facebook.
Take charge of your health. Get all natural innovative health products from the new AffinityHealthProducts.com. From weight loss to cold and flu remedies to better joint function, discover natural products you can trust online at AffinityHealthProducts.com, like Lose and Snooze. Fact is, 90% of all diets fail. Why not try a completely new way of dieting? With Lose and Snooze, you can achieve weight loss while you sleep. Guaranteed. Reduce caloric intake, get a deep restorative sleep, build lean muscle mass, and keep your metabolic rate up to burn fat throughout the night and day. With all-natural Lose and Snooze from AffinityHealthProducts.com. Include the one-day diet for a complete weight loss package. Order Lose and Snooze and the one-day diet and other all-natural products for men and women online at AffinityHealthProducts.com. Spelled A-F-F-I-N-I-T-Y, HealthProducts.com. Or call 877-888-7126. That's 877-888-7126.
IRS. The three most dreaded letters of the alphabet. If you owe back taxes, have unfiled tax returns, are receiving threatening letters, or have IRS agents coming to your home or place of business, you need an experienced IRS agent fighting on your side. Call the Tax Relief Division of the Law Offices of Craig Zimmerman at 800-342-8068. Spearheaded by a former IRS agent, we know how to negotiate a reduction in the tax you owe, stop wage garnishments, lift bank levies, and negotiate an affordable repayment plan. With 17 years as a practicing attorney and an A+ Better Business rating, we'll get the IRS off your back once and for all. In fact, recently, when an IRS employee had a tax problem, she called us. Stop being afraid and call right now for your free consultation at 800-342-8068. The phone call is free and there's no obligation, so call 800-342-8068. Again, that's 800-342-8068. Actual results based on individual client circumstances.
Have you ever seen a U.S. postage stamp featuring Abraham Lincoln, Ben Franklin, or George Washington? If you're into stamp collecting, you know it's a fun, affordable hobby. America's leading stamp dealer is the Mystic Stamp Company, and they want you to have their free 140-page color catalog. Go to mysticstampad.com, the website of the Mystic Stamp Company, serving stamp collectors since 1923. Mystic Stamp is well known in the industry for its experience, superior customer service, and an A+ rating with the Better Business Bureau. Go to mysticstampad.com to request your free 140-page U.S. stamp color catalog packed with collecting tips, special offers, color photos, and over 4,600 available stamps. Call 800-433-7811 or go to mysticstampad.com. That's 800-433-7811 and ask for your free U.S. stamp catalog or mysticstampad.com. Mystic Stamp Company, America's leading stamp dealer.
Welcome back to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, Coast to Coast, and of course all the nooks and crannies in between. You knew how horrified I was, and I talked about this last week, how sad it was that a man went into court with his family in Texas, opens fire in the parking lot, kills one older woman, wounds three others, and then we find out the very same day, another man had three knives, stabbed four people. It was random stabbing in Columbus, Ohio, before he was shot by police. And then, of course, a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about the school shooting in Chandron, Ohio, and how awful it was for the people there. It's been a long time, but boy, we have thought about her, and we're so glad to have her back on the show. I was famous for calling her the ATN head shrinker, Judith Barr. She is a psychotherapist and the author of Power Abused, Power Healed, and she can certainly shed some light on what is going on here and all the question that we're asking ourselves about the stabbings, the shootings, and all of this violence. It's scary, very, very sad stuff. Judith, thanks so much for coming back on America Tonight.
I'm delighted to be back with you, Kate.
You know, that was a very, very sad day. I think a lot of times people will say they don't even want to turn on the news or listen to things like this because it makes them crazy, drives them crazy thinking of what people are doing to each other. But maybe we can learn something from this. What is going on? Is there something different happening out there that we're not connecting, or is it just that there's more ways to find things out that are happening, or is it just that there's more stress? I guess I'm asking you a whole bunch of questions about these two terrible incidents, three really.
Yeah. It's these three and many, many, many more individually and communally and nationally and globally, and I would be glad to help shed some light on it. If at any point I'm answering and you have a question to help clarify, please feel free to ask me the question, interrupt and ask me. I think the fact that we know more, that we have more access to what's happening, is making it even more intense for us, because then we can know that somebody's been shot in Texas and somebody's done stabbed people in Ohio and what's going on abroad. And I remember the day with the Texas and the Ohio incidents, I remember seeing them both within some period of time and feeling shocked myself. I think that's one of the things that happens, is people feel shocked. And most people don't understand. And so what I want to say to start, Kate, is that violence comes from our not having had the help to build our capacity to feel our feelings. And what this does is it leads to our feeling we can't bear what we feel. And this leads to our looking for escape hatches to get away from those feelings. And those escape hatches are usually something that in the end, that if not obviously right away destructive, in the end it is. Hurting or killing somebody else is an escape hatch. Hurting or killing ourselves is an escape hatch. Running away, unless it's like, you know, to save your life from somebody that's attacking you, but like running away from what's going on in your life is an escape hatch. Getting, and then more minor ones, not as obviously violent, are things like getting sick, drinking, drugging, overeating, sex, pornography, and the lengths of destructiveness to which those can go. The violence we're seeing is not just individual, but communal responses to not being able to, not having the capacity, not being able, or thinking we're not able to bear our feelings. So, do you have any questions so far?
The escape hatch, you're talking about this, and we should say that Judith mentioned before we come on the air, if you go to powerabusepowerheal.com, she's got an article that's terrific about that escape hatch from March of 2008, and you've been talking about this for a very long time. So it's about healing. So how,
yes,
it's the abuse of power too. I mean, how do we get people? How do we help people to get to that point where they can reach out before something destructive like this happens?
It's a combination of, I want to answer your question, and it's a combination of that, and it's a combination of something we need to learn and teach ourselves and our children. And before I say that, I just want to say you're naming it an abuse of power. If we can't feel our own feelings, if we believe our own feelings are too much to bear, and we act out our escape hatches in destructive ways, like killing somebody else or killing ourselves, or with suicide bombers doing both, then we are abusing our power. And the task is, and this is, it's, I'm not going to pretend with you, Kate, the task is a huge task.
Yeah.
Because our society and our world have not learned that we need to be able to feel our feelings and express them safely and build our capacity to do that and build our capacity to know which feelings are here and now feelings we need to act on and which ones are from when we were children that get triggered. But now we're not children. Now we're in grown bodies, big bodies that can do destructive things. So imagine you've got a little girl or a little boy who was neglected. Let's say you've got a little boy who was neglected and deprived by his mother. And he grows up and he marries somebody, and his wife isn't going to do something he wants her to do. And he gets triggered. He's still in a grown man's body. He still thinks he's in the here and now, But what's really happening is that is it's triggering that place in him as a little boy where his mother deprived and neglected him. And now he's probably going to act out in some way that's at least hurtful, if not destructive, toward his wife. Or let's say a woman was abused by her father, and she's in a job where her boss is a man, and he abuses her.
Mm.
And or maybe he just raises his voice at her, doesn't yell, but maybe he's frustrated, and he just raises his voice, and she's now not realizing it, actually inside herself, back as a child with her father really abusing her, and she strikes out in a woman's body with a woman's head,
right,
strikes out at the boss. So that happens to us all the time, that we're triggered like that. And if we can't feel the feelings, if we don't have the capacity to feel our feelings, and then we won't have the capacity to be able to tell which feelings are here and now feelings that we need to act on, and which ones are triggers from the past that we need to use for healing. Make sense?
It totally makes sense. So, Judith, the part that we could all, I don't know, grab onto, something that maybe we could do, and you use this word, and I love the way you use this word, in healing the violence in our world. What can we do? You've explained the scenarios. It makes sense how it can trigger something and how it can happen. What can we do? Because I think we all feel pretty helpless, actually.
Well, that's one of the feelings.
Yeah.
If it triggers our helplessness, and this is perfect, Kate, thank you. If it triggers our helplessness, and we feel like we can't bear that feeling of helplessness, one of the things to do is help yourself build your capacity to feel your helplessness. And one of the ways you can do that is to track back when in your life you have felt helpless and see what's getting triggered from when you were a little child. I mean, we remember a lot more than we're aware. And some of it's unconscious, but if you really want to know, you can start asking yourself to help you, you know, when did I feel helpless like this before? When did I feel helpless like this before that and before that? When was the earliest time that I can remember feeling helpless? And then even past that, well, I was a little baby once, so I must have felt really helpless. And if you need help doing this, don't just struggle and get frustrated doing it by yourself. Find a good therapist who works with people with their feelings and helps them heal to the root and helps them build their capacity to feel their feelings instead of trying to shut them off and, you know, get away from their feelings and get the help from a therapist to do that. I think each of us needs to do that, Kate.
Yeah, I agree. I think people need to explore feelings, and it's a tough thing for some reason for a lot of people to do, although luckily there's more people like you around, and there's more of a push to do that, and let's hope we're headed in that direction. Judith Barr, thank you so much. As always, I'm going to send everyone to powerabusepoweredheal.com. It's a great website. It's a great resource, and we'd love to have you back on again.
Thank you so much, Kate. I always love being back with you.
Thank you.
Okay.